We have communion today, and I'm going to speak for the last time here. This is message number 3. It is impossible for us to fail. It is impossible for us to fail. Would you say that with me? It is impossible for us to fail. And I want to address something too right up front. How many of you have felt possibly more tired than normal? Have you? I'm not sure why. There may be some physical reasons, like pollen, changes of seasons and stuff. But I think there's some spiritual reasons, because we're pushing against something. And I know that I have been, I understand the realities of the Word of God. And when it says, put on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that's a truth there, that you put on a garment of praise. Yes, pan out the message notes while I'm, thank you so much. Yeah, and there's not extensive stuff, but we're going to look in the book of Haggai. And I want to, there's a few things that parallel with what we're doing, and there's a couple of things that I just want us to know about, and we'll talk into this. My heart is really filled with this passion to discuss the glory of the Lord. I think this is really important in understanding this passage, the glory of the God. Before we get right to this part that I have in chapter 2, which is what our message is based on, what leads up to that, of course, is Haggai 1. And I want to read just a little bit. What happened is they began building the temple. It's rebuilding it. See, the first time was that Solomon, David, of course, wanted to build it. And God said no because of this murderous thing he did and with Bathsheba, killing Uriah, Bathsheba's husband. Says, I'm going to withhold you from building the temple for my glory. But he raised all the money for it. He raised everything. And then he gave that charge, of course, to Solomon. And Solomon went ahead and built it. And there was a powerful thing that happened when they dedicated the building. The glory of the Lord came down. And the priests could not stand. They were all playing instruments. And God's glory came and they couldn't stand up. And they toppled over. And now we're at this time where this building began, and then 15 years later, they're stuck. They quit. They stalled. They stalled, and they weren't building. 15 years. And Haggai comes on the scene, and he prophesies, thus says the Lord, thus says the Lord, thus says the Lord of hosts, thus says the Lord of hosts, thus says the Lord of hosts. And he stirs up Zerubbabel, who's the governor, and Joshua, who is the high priest, not the Joshua of the other book, but this other guy, namesake probably. And then the remnant of his people, the remnant of his people. Elbow somebody, say, remnant. Hi, how you doing, remnant? Remnant of his people. Thus says the Lord, remnant of his people. And so, but the first time, now this I don't think this really relates to us here, but this is the setup for this, and then I'll go to the part I really feel like does relate to us. It says in the, now this is not on your notes, this is chapter 1. I just want to set this up. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, saying. And then he throws this thing out here. He says, this people says the time has not come to build the Lord's house. Not the time for the house to be built. But the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet saying, and then he throws this at him. He says, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? And therefore, says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And then he goes into this whole thing about how the crops haven't been working, things haven't been going right. It's like their pants have holes in them. You put money in, it disappears. And he's shifting a page here through this prophet speaking and decreeing this word. He says, now the grapes are going to come, the vineyards are going to, everything's, your crops are going to come in. He's shifting this. He's tying the restoration of the temple to the personal blessing of the people. It's really something. And so now I want to get to our part. And let's say it again. It is impossible for us to fail. And as we started with this, of course, last week we had Amos coming. He's saying obedience leads to abundance. Wasn't that wonderful? And if you haven't heard that, we have that on the podcast. And I want to go ahead and say rogersroar.com has a place where messages, you can go to that. When we get the message up, we Will you put it on New Hope Facebook, New Hope Four Square Church Facebook page? You can click the link and it'll go right there. Also, when it goes on the website, it goes over to Roger through iTunes. When we change the name and go the church, by the way, we're going to, I'm asking you if you would be so kind to still keep the whole new name kind of hush-hush until we have the website up. As we go, we're going to just cover the city with all kinds of flyers. We're going to go for it, buddy. We're going to go for it for a season when we get in there. We're just going to let people know, okay? I just want to start talking vision now. But all this stuff is, the other day I was walking out of the building. When I go in there, this message is going to be all over the map because I need a break, and so just you're going to get what you get. Is that right? I was walking out yesterday. When I go in there, I usually get my phone out. I declare a passage. Like I read Colossians chapter 3. I just speak it out, or Psalm 91. I just declare the word of God in there. I was heading out, and I just right before leaving the sanctuary, heading out the front door, this sense of ownership. It was like something clicked. And it's our house, guys. In the spirit. It's our house. And the Lord wants to do something extraordinary. And so when Amos came, wasn't that funny? He was hilarious. I only had one other time in my life where with the Bellises, I looked at him and the Lord spoke to me and told me, you're supposed to come here and do a worship conference. I went, the Lord just spoke to me, told me I'm supposed to come here and do a worship conference. And they went, okay. And they scheduled it. That is weird. I'm on the phone with Amos, and Amos goes, I got room. I can come. And I said, well, yeah, thank you. I just went like that because I know he would never invite himself. That was funny when he talked about it. It's like, no, take a couple of days. I already know, but I'll call you back. Because when the Holy Spirit does that, he's doing something. We're not people that promote ourselves, ever. We just kind of shy away from all that and let the Lord establish things. We pray a lot. Ask God to do stuff. Isn't that right? Because I don't want my flesh in the way. How about you? Because the glory of the Lord is so important to God. We'll get into that a little bit here. So they're stuck. And it says in chapter 2, verse 1, in the seventh month, on the 21st of the month. Now, this particular day, get this. This is the last day of the Feast of the Tabernacles. So that's a big celebration around the temple. And there may have been some of those that remembered the former days of glory. Because there were things that happened during Solomon's time. There was actually the Ark of the Covenant was there. There were things that were there that were now missing. It was overlaid with gold. And now you got this wood paneling. There was a day of immense glory at Solomon's temple. Actually, the Lord's temple that Solomon built. And now they're restoring it, and Zerubbabel is in charge. And the people are looking at it, and it's this day of this big celebration, and they're like, and there's discouragement. And that's what Haggai identifies and speaks to. And he says, speak now to Zerubbabel. This is what you have on your paper. The son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to all the remnant of the people, and say, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? And so he identifies this place, this thing. And I want to now pause there and interject this. Remember last week? I must mention the concept, takes 9 months to have a baby. But for 25 years, Abraham waited for that promise to be fulfilled. Because it took 25 years to make a father of nations. He could have given the promise and had the baby then, but he waited and waited and waited to do a work in him. And I did not understand all that when we started. I didn't know that God was going to actually treat us like he does the people in the Bible. Where you act in obedience and go by faith and then nothing turns out the way you thought. I didn't know. Everybody say perseverance. But when you keep going, perseverance is the key to kingdom reality. Following the voice of the Lord, no matter what. And then the results are in His hand because there is eternal impact through temporal obedience. And there are people that God will touch. And He, apparently, I just wasn't in shape. I'm so sorry it was taking us so long because I wasn't ready. But baby, I am now. Amen? How many of you felt like you were ready way back and you've been through? So we're in this together? Okay. And so then He declares these words. The fill in the blank there is be strong. Because He says three times, who's left him? Is it nothing? He says, yet now be strong. Be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, O you people of the land, declares the Lord. Be strong. Be strong. Be strong. Now I'm going to talk about something that's completely different, but it's interesting. Because it still has to do with the glory of God where we're ending at the end of this, okay? In the book of Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and earth. And the earth was void and without form, and there's darkness upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. Now, the Lord set a pattern here because there was darkness and there was light. You can't have one. If we just have all light, there's never darkness. You can't have all darkness. Hell is all darkness. So you can't have all darkness. Some flames, but you can't really see much. You're just in torment. That's a tormenting place. But there's light. Light and dark. Opposites. Got it? Opposites. Then He continues. And He says, and this is all about the glory of God. He says, I want to now set the heavens and the earth. And He says, creates the heavens and the earth. And it's not all heavens. It's not all earth. There's a glory of the heavens. There's a glory of the earth. They're almost like opposites, aren't they? You can't live out there, but you can here. Okay? And there's a unique glory when the two come together. Powerful. And then He goes on and does the pattern again. He goes, and there's going to be sea and land. And the earth is not all ocean. It's not all land. He's going to do this. He does this glorious thing by having an opposite come together and another opposite and creates a unique glory out of that. And then He makes a man and a woman. He makes opposites to create a unique glory that will cause glory to come to Him. He didn't create just one or just the other. He created a glory that would come from the two. That's the biblical pattern. And to rob Him of His glory is to change the pattern. And our culture has ignored the glory of the Lord. But you will fare well honoring the glory of God. Doesn't mean you don't love people. When I was very, very, very broken, extremely broken, oh boy. I have memory of it. I don't have the pain of it anymore. What's really incredible is here we have Adam, Mr. and Mrs. Adam, and God's whole idea of paradise. Are there mature people in here? God's whole idea of paradise was a bunch of acreage and two naked people. And He called it paradise. How about that? He wasn't embarrassed about that. But then when the sin occurred, the glory lifted. Their clothing left. The glory of their clothing left them. And now they're ashamed. And we had to hide because we are fearful And that's the predicament of every soul. And there's only one thing that can solve all that. And it's the glory of God. And when we pursue our own fleshly desires, it doesn't matter how often. How many of you have done something and it felt good and you did it again, felt good, and pretty soon it does not any good anymore. Because this realm doesn't meet that need. This realm doesn't meet that need. Somehow we have in our memory, as Adam's children, this something that we know we're made for that we just can't get here. And most folks, you know this, most folks go, I've got this need. As they said on Saturday Night Live, for more cowbell. Just more cowbell. I got to have more cowbell. Got this need. Got to have more cowbell. If you remember the skit, but it was funny. More cowbell. Got this need. And no matter what you do, it doesn't fill the need. Because there's a place inside of you made for what's called shalom. And shalom is a Hebrew word that's bigger than the word peace. It means complete contentment and satisfaction in God. Wow, are we way off or what? Everybody say, be strong. Because your strength of the Lord comes from your fulfillment, your walk with God. You know that's true, don't you? When He restores us, let's go ahead and jump to the next section here. Be strong. Everybody say, be strong one more time. Now, when we walk through this, he says, I want you to go ahead and be strong. And he says, the next fill in the blank is work. Work, for I am with you. Everybody say, the Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts, according to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit remains in your midst. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts, according to the covenant I made with you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit remains in your midst. I'm going to now go off on another little thing here. How many of you have ever read the book of Job? Job was a person who had great integrity. And he had a lot of stuff. He had a lot of daughters and sons and cattle. And he was a wealthy, wealthy man. And the adversary goes before the presence of God and says, well, the reason that he's so happy is because he's got all that stuff. And God says, no, that's not the reason. Go ahead and test him. And so they take everything away. Everybody dies in his family. All of his stuff's gone. And Job is now, he's still not going to curse God. He says, can we not, you know, receive good from God and not receive evil? He's a lot of integrity. His wife says, curse God and die, and he won't do it. And later, God restores it all. So we have with Job a man that everything is taken away from. Over here with Solomon, we have a completely different thing. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it's polar opposites. We have a man that asks for wisdom, and then he receives wisdom, and then he goes and tries out everything in life to see if it'll satisfy or not. And he comes up with, everything is meaningless. Everything is vanity. Nothing satisfies. He had the capacity by God to go and try every single thing out and not become an addict and still have self-assessment. He had your little barbecue. Well, he'd have one for 20,000 people. He would party. And he'd go through and have singers come in. He'd do all this stuff. And he'd do that a while, and that didn't work. Then he'd try drinking and food and had all the best. He'd build big things. He'd party. He'd build big things. He got wives. He had 600 wives and 300 concubines. My goodness. That didn't satisfy. Finally comes one thing. He says, one thing. While you're here, work with your hands. Enjoy your relationship with your wife that God has given you. Everybody say work. It's the work. While we're here, in the short little time, work. Work and do something that causes blessing to happen for others. For the Lord is with you. And we're doing this over here. Our appeal was, hey, if you can, let's put a little elbow grease in this thing together. Okay? Still here? And lastly, number three, fear not. Fear not, for the Lord, says the Lord of hosts, yet once more in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all the nations so that the treasures of the nations shall come to you. In the King James, it says desire of all nations. I believe the reason he put treasures here is because later what's happening, he says, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Then he says in verse 8, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. And I believe what's going on here is the Lord is saying, you know what, I could fill this house, Zerubbabel. I could do the whole thing I did with Solomon. But there's going to be a glory that comes that's much greater than gold and silver. And even the nature of how I manifested my presence. Are you ready for it? Solomon, then the temple was destroyed and they rebuilt, right? Rebuilt was Zerubbabel. Refurbished by Herod. And who walked in there? Jesus. The latter glory is the visitation of Jesus. And guess what it's going to be? It's going to be this thing about the heavens will be shaken and all this. God's saying, I'm doing something by you rebuilding this temple that's a picture of two things. Me rebuilding your life and then me coming down and making a new heavens and a new earth. Because I'm going to come and I'm going to shake everything up. And the end time prophetic thing is, I'm going to shake everything. So fear not, it's me. Let me just mention this. There are thousands, if not millions, of Muslims turning to Jesus because they cannot stand this ISIS Allah. They can't stand it anymore. This is our God. I don't want anything to do with it. And they're leaving in droves. In droves. And they're secretly coming to Jesus through dreams. And it's big time everywhere. It's going on heavy. And they run into this European Christianity because it's like dead. And they think, well, it's the reason for all the bad stuff. And then they find out what, because of evangelists that God has sprinkled all through the place. They go, no, that's not it. This is it. That's dead religion. Here's Jesus. And the moment they hear about Jesus, come on, listen. The moment they hear about Jesus, that you don't have to sacrifice for a God, He sacrificed Himself for you. The moment you hear about Jesus, I want Him. And the stories are going to keep popping up. You're just going to hear more and more of these. Not in the main stuff, but you know, the regular agenda stuff, media, but the believers. There's all kinds of stuff going on out there, and we need to hear about it and be rejoicing. Because there's a shift somehow when God starts shaking stuff. And I don't know, look, all I know is we're obeying the Lord. How many would walk with Jesus and obey the Lord and see the fruitfulness of those decisions and leave it in His hands? How many of you have had an expectation and you say, I do this and I expect this to happen? And it didn't happen. And the Lord said, what was your expectation in? And we put our expectation in the Lord and obey best we know how. And keep coming to Him and letting Him work in us. Does it work? It seems to. And then you show up and you end up doing stuff and saying stuff and ministering in ways, and God pours out what He wants to do in the lives of people, and you go on. And I'm just looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to Jesus using what He created us to be and do. It is not just about the individual salvation. This is the gospel of the kingdom. The whole earth is crying and travailing and groaning for the redemption of the sons of God. When Jesus comes and straightens it out, the whole earth is in on it. Hallelujah. And every nation and everybody knows Jesus is Lord. Fear not. Hallelujah. Let's have those who are coming up to serve communion. Let's get ready for that. The glory. When you ignore the glory, when you turn to something other than the glory of God, the heavens declare the glory of God. You turn to idols. Everything that's not honoring God in His glory, all of His glory, is idolatry. Everything. Nobody else did what Jesus did, not a soul. Nobody did this. The little cracker that you have in your hand has holes in it. Nobody came down and nobody else was sinless and got on the cross for us and had a Roman soldier puncture right up there in their the heart realm there and the blood and water come out. That's actually the proof that Jesus did not die of asphyxiation. He died of a broken heart. He gave his life. He didn't suffocate. That's how they all die on the cross. But Jesus didn't die that way. Jesus said, into your hands I commit my spirit. Nobody did that but Jesus. Jesus is the only one that ever did that. When you reject the glory of God, you receive the full weight of the wrath of God. And the glory of God is about the redemption that Jesus brought to give. Offering himself completely and totally as our offering to pay the debt of all mankind's sin. Nobody's ever done that. There's not another. And when he's rejected, because divine justice has been served, God's wrath was poured out upon his own son to buy you back from all the brokenness and all. What options do you have now? You don't have any. You have self-righteousness, efforts, works that never satisfy. And never fulfill anything and lead you down another road that exhausts you. But then there comes this burden bearer and he lifts the weight and he washes our souls clean and he puts love in where hate was and forgiveness where unforgiveness was ruling and grace where bitterness was. An unusual sense of love and confidence where self-hatred was and shame was ruling. And he washes, he takes these things and he shows us a simple thing. Come, son, lift your chin and say, I'm sorry for my sins. And we come, I'm sorry for my sins. Now let me wash you. It's all given. Freely given. Most amazing thing. And the more I walk with the Lord, the more I realize how much more I need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I am a worthless, foul sinner. And without the grace of God, I don't know how to walk. I don't know my elbow from my ear. I can't pull off anything without his help. I need him more than life itself. And I've discovered he is life itself. There's no pretensions. How many of you know you need a God that loves you? This one loves. This one doesn't say, now I want you to try harder. Because he knows that you're broken and you're broken because you don't have him. He knows this. You don't know it, but he knows it. How many of you have been around little kids that just don't know yet? And they grow and they learn. And we grow and we learn. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. We thank you. Just tell the Lord, just create your own little holy moment there. Tell the Lord how meaningful he is to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I ask that you would undo whatever somebody's done that they need undone right now. Because we partake of the key. The key is you've died for us. And you've broken the power of sin's rule over our lives as we yield to you. So Lord, as we partake of this right now, I ask that you would relieve people of their mistakes, their sins and failures. You just do a work right here in the room. Amen. Let's partake together. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. You can begin again. You can begin again. You can believe, you can be healed, you can be free again. For God is here, and He will make a way. You can begin, you can begin again. You can begin, you can begin. There's nothing like Jesus showing up in somebody's life, and they've tried, you know, people go through multiple relationships sometimes. Like the woman at the well, she was swapping sex for rent. Just going through man after man after man. And Jesus said, there's this water that you can drink, that you'll never be thirsty again. Now that's mind-blowing. Where's your cup? How are you going to get that? And Jesus says, it's me. And immediately, they go from water to worship. The Samaritans worship on this mountain over here. Wait a minute, are we talking about water? We're talking about worship. You read the passage. Water's mentioned about six or seven times, and worship's mentioned about six or seven times. Is it water? Or is it worship? Does anybody in here want to realize that worship in the living God is the source of the water that satisfies? And He invites us in. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the shed blood that transforms a mud-sin-drenched soul into an acceptable, loving son because of the washing power of the blood. And thank you, Lord, for the blood, the activity of the blood of Jesus that really brings life into death-filled situations. It brings purity into sullied situations. It brings wholeness into broken situations. It brings you into hellish situations. And so we thank you for your authority in the blood of the Lamb. It empowers us to forgive like we couldn't forgive and now we can. It causes us to not only receive the fullness of who you are, but to release the fullness of who you are to others and make us better all the while. So we bless you for it. Let's praise Him. Just praise Him. Praise Him. Thank you for the blood of the Lamb. We overcome by the blood of this, the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Lord, I'm spotless and clean because of you. I'm fully aware of all my inadequacies, but I thank you, Lord, that somehow you cover them all and cause me to be much better than I could be because of the blood. And so we thank you, Lord. We have a purpose to speak blessing over those that have wounded us, or we opened to it, or either on purpose that has things happened, or we got in the way and created it. But no matter what, Lord, we thank you. The blood gives us the power to forgive, the power to receive forgiveness, the power to go on. Let's receive the blood, guys. Praise you, Jesus. The Lord wants to destroy the yokes of bondage on multitudes of people in our city. The Lord wants to activate the power of His blood over the multitudes that live right around us. The Lord is going to come and deliver soul after soul after soul. He's going to save soul after soul after soul. Will you join Him and pursue His glory and pursue Him? You look around, our room is not full. The Lord laughs. You have no idea what I do. I don't need a lot. I just need committed. Hallelujah. I was standing right there and I saw it. I just saw the Lord said, I'm coming. It's the bondage breaker to this town. I will magnify my name and bring glory to myself. And I will cause people to understand I am what they've always been looking for. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Oh, sure love you guys. Some of you in here are so stinking adorable and lovable, it's just hard not to love you, son. The Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Because you'll need it. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you because you need that too. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.